President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 16th on the West Coast, now February the 17th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on BlogTalkRadio.com, as well as those that have found the phone bridge. And if you're listening to this show, you're either listening online or you're listening on the phone bridge. We do have listeners that can call in. So if you are online and you want to jot that number down, certainly go over to Station 1 at the top of any BBSRadio.com page. Click on that, and that will bring you the Listen Now feature, which is a series of drivers that you can download, either in 56K or 32K format. That's just the sampling frequency. So if you have like really fast internet, you might want to listen to 56K. If you have slower internet, certainly you can listen to 32K. And if you don't have internet, and you're here, then you've got to be hearing me some other way, either via a Wind Talkers radio, or you would be hearing me on the phone bridge. You're already there. If not, you'll see the number there on the right side of the screen, and that is a you-have-to-pay number, but if you have a long-distance plan, it's nothing. It actually isn't even charged to your phone. But it's not an 800 number. I want to make that clear. People have been listening in and quite surprised that they can understand everything being said on the show. So... which is, maybe that's what everybody should do, is listen on the phone so they can understand. All right, tonight's guest manages his own website, hosts the website, I should say. He's a researcher, a metaphysician. He's studying many, many things that are really off the wall regarding photographs that were being presented these days that show many anomalies that are occurring in the metaphysical realm and multidimensionally. His website, educate-yourself.org, is one of the most popular sites in the whole world, and it's read in over 160-some countries. I would venture to say everywhere but Haiti goes to his website right now. And he's my good friend and a frequent guest on Evident Footprint, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Don. Thanks so much for having me on again. It's a pleasure to be back.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. Now, believe it or not, I got to see an old, and I'd say it was probably done sometime last year, an old broadcast of Frontline, which is one of the PBS networks out of New England. I think it's out of Boston, actually. Mm-hmm. And I think is it WGBH?
GBH,
yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was a really interesting expose on the derivatives hedge fund market, and they were talking about the hundreds of trillions of dollars of bogus derivatives and hedge funds. How this is just one big inflated bubble that's going to break, and Alan Greenspan took blame for this failing. But did they fix it? No. They ramped it up, and they're continuing on. In fact, during that time, as at the end of the Clinton administration, what they were doing was basically just legalizing everything by removing all the restrictions. So you had no safeguards, and they were selling these bogus derivatives and hedge funds to foreign countries all over the world, ruining the world economy on purpose. And I thought, you know, I didn't see this when it came out, but that was the first attempt by the mainstream media to actually report at least some of what was going on. And of course, it's gotten much worse. We've got false flag events tied to these financial heists. And it's not just bogus political figures anymore now. It's bogus business. It's just racketeering and organized crime. That's all it is. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I agree. Over the years, I've written a few comments, essays, specifically talking about well-produced, quote, I'll put quotes on this, documentary outfits such as Frontline, Dateline, Nova, etc. There's a great deal of money and expertise that goes into those productions. So they're very polished. They have, just look at the credits that mm-hmm. roll at the end of their presentation. There's, 100, 150 people who are involved in various stages of the production. So there's plenty of money there to put together a polished video presentation, 1 hour, 2 hours, etc. We get a lot of our, ideas about historical events through these video production companies, especially outfits like Frontline. But they're propaganda mills, as are all the mainstream outlets of the media, the mainstream newspapers across the country, the mainstream magazines, Time, Newsweek, etc. Mm-hmm. The mainstream radio talk shows, and NPR, for example, who I mention a lot. Frontline is part of that propaganda machinery. And while many of the topics they cover will be a fairly accurate reflection of what the event was and who the players were, etc., on really important topics, such as the inside job we call 9/11, their presentations are totally bogus,
mm-hmm.
totally designed to act as a propaganda vehicle to have you think that these planes crashed in and into the towers and it caused the collapse because of the pancake. And I mean, they have such wonderful computer guys who can do these wonderful computer graphics presentations that almost look like a real film there. I mean, the animation is that good. It's just a lot of hooey. So we have to always bear that in mind. They can't ignore these huge stories, obviously, so they cover it. But they cover it in the way that serves the Illuminati's purpose, to somehow make it the version that they present sound, well, that sounds about right. And for people who don't really investigate, and the vast majority of people don't really investigate anything. They just go by what they hear over mainstream, and because they hear it repeatedly, that's why it is repeated often, in order so for you to inculcate the theme that the boys up at Tavistock want you to believe. So I don't watch TV anymore because, since they switched to digital, I don't see broadcast TV anymore. But I watched the shows plenty of times over the years and often recorded them, and many times had planned to write a substantial article critiquing these presentations, particularly the ones that, touch on what we'll call crisis events, emergency type mm-hmm. events. They're always shaded propaganda.
Yeah, although there were many, many truthful facts.
Well, I said that
it's like
up in front. That's why you have to really know your stuff before you,
They're cutting with a knife, but they're not drawing any blood.
Mm-hmm.
Is the way I can describe it.
Right.
But
since you began the introduction mentioning very unusual images that, you know, I had captured in various photos. I want to spend at least the first part of the show to discuss the topic of reptilians. I mentioned to this you earlier tonight, and while if we wanted to do an entire show on it, the topic, that would be easy to do, and we could continue it for many, but it's not my intention to go into that type of detail. I just want to, though, cover some facets of the reptilian story, because I believe it's rather important, and I'll explain why. The first is, a large number of people don't ascribe or believe or accept the notion that there's a large controlling group of alien beings that we identify as reptilians, because the morphology of their body is that of a reptile. Scaly skin, typically greenish brown in appearance. They have horns. They have the bodily appearance that other reptiles have. Snakes and iguanas, crocodiles, etc. And that's okay if you don't want to accept it, but it's a big part of the experience we're going through now on planet Earth. The New World Order is trying to advance their agenda at an accelerated pace now. And the driving force behind the humans we, you know, attach to the New World Order are this negative group of aliens, and the dominant group are the entities we're calling reptilians. And the subject first came to my awareness, I think, in the mid-90s. Phil Schneider did a series of video presentations in Las Vegas, in Colorado, up in Oregon, down in Atlanta, I believe. Summer and fall of 1995, Phil Schneider did a lot of conferences. It was the only year that he had the opportunity to tell his story and reveal his information, because he was murdered in January of 1996, in early January. However, in his lectures, he tells the audience that the New World Order and the alien agenda are one in the same. And what he meant was that the people who we view as the New World Order, the Illuminati, who are trying to install this one world government, this feudal system, are really under the aegis and control of these reptilian aliens, who I've been told and I've read have been on Earth for a long time. They have a mother planet that they originally came from. And I understand that there are still reptilians on the mother planets. I believe there's more than one. But there's a group who came to Earth a long time ago. It might have been as long as 200,000, 300,000, 400,000, 500,000 years ago, and have mostly existed under the ground. And they have interior dwellings that are usually called hives, reptilian hives. And they have many of them, and we could also call them underground bases. And they've been intermixing with certain human groups going back to ancient times, to Babylonian times, for instance.
And you mean interbreeding, been, right? When you say intermix, you mean interbreeding.
Interbreeding, yes. Okay. When I say intermixing, they've both been in contact, communication with certain groups, but also genetically exchanging material so that the offspring of these chosen groups would have a greater share of this alien reptilian DNA in their genes and a lesser share of strictly human DNA. Now, this breeding process was limited to certain bloodlines, certain family groups for a long, long time, a few thousand years. But currently, in our times, from Roswell forward, the end of World War II forward, with the increased, technology of mind control that was the research that started with the Nazis in the concentration camps during World War II was perfected in the 50s and 60s and 70s. Now, mind control, there's many different forms of it, but it's a perfected art, a diabolical one for sure. But the technology has been applied to a large number of people in the last 50 years or so. So this breeding program now has, the planners of this, who are in cahoots with our government, for instance, with the so-called secret government, with the NWO sellout members of the military, for instance, of our intelligence agencies, etc. They're working in cahoots with these reptilian beings to, take over this country. I call it the NWO takeover. And they've now expanded their breeding program to a larger population of unsuspecting Americans. Now, this possibly and probably is occurring in other countries around the world, but the epicenter of this activity is undoubtedly the United States, as is the epicenter of mind control, of application. Here, I suppose here in England, you will find the largest population, let's say, that's being abused by these technologies. So there is this breeding program that's active. The military started this, let's call it research, 20 or 30 years ago, and now unsuspecting families are finding themselves in a strange world. And I've been in communication with one family that, of many, I'm sure, but this party happened to contact me, and I've in turn, shared this information with you, in which they're being victimized by this hybrid program. Outwardly, they appear, there's young children and a wife and a husband.
Yeah, actually, for the listener's sake, we had the mother on. The story behind the story, when I subbed for Dr. A. True Watt, and you were my guest on that show. So we interviewed this lady on internet radio for a good hour, I'd say.
Yes, right. We were talking about another area of, important information. Mm-hmm. She had, which did not include this topic.
Yes, yes.
But
We talked about the sterile version of what she was undergoing.
Yes, right. But I'm talking about this now because it's necessary that a larger public be aware of this phenomena, that it's these alien beings, these reptilian beings, are not a figment of one's imagination. They're genuine aliens. They have the capacity to manifest in the dimension that we live in, which is the third dimension, but they normally live in the next higher dimensional band up, the fourth dimension. That's their normal world. But they certainly can manifest in 3D physicality, and they often do. So they're between these two worlds. They have a far superior scientific technology than, the general public is aware of, and they have telepathic ability, and they're also usually quite intelligent. Now, what they aren't is spiritually developed. They are primitive in the spiritual department, extremely primitive. And their society, their political structure, their military structure, their clan structure, their tribal structure, their hive structure is all structured on a hierarchy mentality. So you have a caste system, you have the royalty of reptilians that are at the top of the pyramid, and then you have a lower class below them, and even a subclass below that middle group.
Yeah.
And they all, yes.
I was just going to say, I'm agreeing with you, not to interrupt, but I would add also that their hierarchy isn't based upon anything other than, I think, seniority, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
There's
seniority.
There's not any particularly unusual kind of integrity that bases these individuals' capacity to perform whatever it is they do. They're void of soul, of spirit, and therefore void of any morale or morals, I should say.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. That's where I was going on this. So while they have advantages in terms of stealth, they can remain invisible to us if they wish, because they normally reside in a higher dimension. They have telepathic ability, which, you know, most of us can't access directly. So they have scientific spaceships, etc. They have technology that's way beyond us. But what they don't have is they don't have a developed heart. But I mean, to say the spiritual aspect of a heart, loving, forgiving, forgiveness, that sort of thing. And because of that, they live in a fear-based society. It's the top dog who's at the top of the
food chain.
Of the food chain, right. And the lesser subservients are below them. And all of this hierarchical ranking, treatment, etc., is all based on power and domination. So they use fear both as a weapon, but also as a source of nourishment, as hard as that is to accept. They become energized, and it adds energy to their system when they can use fear from a human victim, for instance, to drain or parasitize or rob life force from the victim.
They have an affinity for a substance called adrenochrome.
Yes, that's something that's produced in a human body by the adrenal glands when a person is exposed to extreme terror. His body will, the certain cells, I think they're called chromaffin cells, if I recall correctly, along with the adrenal glands, excrete this molecule that's called adrenochrome. And when these reptilians, or their hybrids, their human-alien hybrids, when they consume human blood of a terrorized victim, they're consuming this adrenochrome. And people who participated in the satanic rituals, such as Arizona Wilder, tell us that this is like a cocaine to them. They get high from this. This has produced sort of a euphoric effect on them. So if you want to try to open your mind to learn more about this alien group, David Icke produced a book in 1999 called The Biggest Secret. And it's not the first book on the idea of reptilian aliens, but it's one of the best known that reached a very large audience. He's done many video presentations talking about the phenomena. He did an interview with Arizona Wilder a video called Revelations of a Mother Goddess, also in 1999. He still sells that on his website. Well worth to read the book and to see the video. It'll give you more information about these beings, and more important, they're hybrids. Most major world leaders are a reptilian human hybrid. Some of them have a dominance of reptilian genes, so they can actually transform into the full reptilian form, which we call shape-shifting. Others cannot. They can demonstrate some aspects of their appearance as reptilian, but not fully transform. But the ones who can fully transform, in many instances, are commonly known names that appear in the news every day. So after Obama was sworn into office January of 2009, he and his wife went to England. I believe it was the beginning of April, if I got my dates correct. And there was a meeting in London that he was to attend. Might have been G20. I don't remember the occasion. But there were photographs taken of him getting off the plane and at various balls and meetings, etc. And one of those photographs of him getting off the plane was sent to me by a lady. And she says, the eyes on Michelle and Barack look very strange. What do you think? So that's the photo that I enlarged, and really enlarged, and took a number of crops of reptilian-looking beings, demonic-looking beings, gargoyle-looking beings that exist, that are picked up, especially by digital photography, on their body, on their exposed skin, and in the space around them.
They're hitching a ride, basically, is what
right,
they're
doing. Hitching a ride.
Yeah.
And if you take the time and look at the enlargements I made, that was only part one. I was going to put up part two and three, because there's many other startling crops from that, that same photo that I had originally made. I just didn't have time to put it all up. But if you look for it, it's not that hard to see these manifestations in certain photos and with certain lighting conditions, with people like Obama, who is him and his wife are both a reptilian human.
Now, you recall the one crop that you made, Ken. You were taking things off of Michelle's knee in the photograph and cropping them out. And there was one photo, when I saw it, and this is a crop of her knee enlarged. So
right.
it reveals another image inside what would normally be just a regular kneecap.
Yeah. As you're looking at her, I'll explain.
I wanted to reference what I called it. I called it Jack and Bobby because it looked like JFK and RFK, the two brothers.
Oh yes,
standing next to each other in blue suits.
Yes,
it's amazing. Yes. The detail.
It is It is amazing, and we have other examples. There's another photo that was originally distributed on the internet when Barack was still in the primary stage of running, and it showed him as a 10-year-old boy along with his alleged mother and a man named Lolo Satoru sitting on a bench. And originally it was published on the internet, black and white. You talking to me about that photo said, you know, this was really original color. You reintroduced the color. And then what I did is I enlarged that photo greatly, and I found entities all over 10-year-old Barack Obama's body where skin's exposed on his arms, his knees, et cetera, and very striking entities that that show up by just enlarging the photo and enhancing the contrast.
Now, you should win a Pulitzer Prize just for the title of the article that you did on the London airport photograph.
Yes. Yeah, I know I had a lot of fun with that, and I thank you for giving me praise on that. I really do appreciate the fact that you appreciate the irony in the title.
Well, why don't you tell the listening audience what you named that article?
Well, Michelle and Barack reveal reptilian baggage at London Airport. So, I mean, it could have, you know, a number of shades of meaning, but I do enjoy having fun with article titles, and sometime I'll hit one out of the ballpark, because I really do enjoy mixing humor, you know, with these very difficult and sometimes dark subjects. It kind of helps make it a little bit easier to accept it. Well, anyway, so the reason I'm talking about the photos only is because you can see a physical manifestation of this phenomena. So there is really, so for people who are totally unbelieving, look at the photos. I didn't create those images. I merely enlarged a picture and took a small square of an entity and further enlarged it in Photoshop, and that's the pictures you're seeing there. I didn't create any of that. I merely enlarged the images that were already there embedded in the photo, and I contrast enhanced them, increased the contrast, changed the brightness so you can see the entity with greater clarity. That's all I did. So we can see these beings in photographs. Now, in the case of the family that I alluded to earlier, they have been chosen. The husband in this case, his father was in the military. He was in a program in which the father was chosen to be part of this hybridization program. So the offspring, the son that he produced, with his wife, had a larger percentage of reptilian genes in him than would normally be the case, because they intentionally are genetically engineering these people to express this reptilian. He is unaware of that, though. This man, you know, looks in a mirror and he sees a normal human being, and he doesn't, you know, fully appreciate the fact that he is of this mix.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he experiences many things.
I'm sorry, Ken, you were alluding to the lady in Texas that we interviewed earlier on.
Yes.
And I don't know if you plan on going back there, but just so the audience isn't confused why you brought that up, it might...
it's
be a good example.
The same family. The husband I'm talking about here.
Okay, same one.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the same family. It is the Texas family. This is the husband of that family, of the gal we're referring to, okay? He is unaware of his, and he experiences a lot of things in which he can't account for, missing time, marks, bruises, cuts, etc. on his body. Does not know how he's getting. He's waking up in the morning and finding these things. His wife is probably not of this heightened reptilian genetic mix. She's probably, I can't be sure, but she's probably, let's say, more of the average human mix of genes. However, their children, their young children, are definitely a mix of alien and hybrid genes, and they're manifesting briefly, not continuously, but they're manifesting briefly reptilian appearances, and then they quickly revert back to a, let's say, a normal human appearance. The children are intellectually aware that they're hybrids. They understand that they have alien, let's say, a mixed in them. They're actually quite good kids. They're loving kids. They tend to think and act and perform like most children do, but they know they're different. They have increased ability, psychic ability, clairvoyant ability. One child can foretell events before they happen and has been telling her mother that this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and in a day or two, that event transpires. They're also having, let's say, intercourse, if you will, with a different choice of words. They're having meetings with these alien beings in a slightly altered dimension, often while the children are sleeping or while they think they're sleeping. They're having, let's say, training sessions with not only alien beings, but also there is a human overseer group who's monitoring this process. This includes people of our government, of our intelligence agencies, and our military. They are working hand in glove with these reptilian alien groups to bring this hybrid program forward. I've been told by someone who has the ability to glean this information that there are at least 2,000 families who are in a similar situation to the family that I'm talking about in Texas. At least 2,000. And this family was not aware of any of this phenomena. The lady originally contacted me because she thought there was demonic beings or spirits somehow manifesting in her home during the nighttime, while they're normally sleeping. She started to turn on a video camera and just let it run. She would examine the tape in the morning and see many strange things, which she originally just called monsters, because she had no idea what's going on, but she's obviously very concerned because you can see these entities interacting with her children, with her, and naturally it worried her and concerned her. So that's how we first began talking to each other. She just couldn't figure out what's going on. So as I examined these videos, which she was getting on her cell phone, she has one of these videos, combination video cell phone camera. I could see the same thing she's telling me about. And what I did is I made still screens of the videos in which you would see an alien reptilian being in the scene. Many of them are very clear, very stark, very detailed. They often have the typical features that we associate with a reptilian. I mean, think of an iguana, sort of an elongated snout, typical reptilian type eye structure, scaly, green skin, often horns. There's often a ridge of horns along the top of the head that sometimes continues down the neck onto the back. Sometimes there's a couple of two or four typical horns that we normally would think of with, you know, a caricature of Satan, that type of horns. I've seen that in these video screen captures. There are other type beings. Some of them look, the alien beings, some of them look cartoonish. Not your typical, let's say, gargoyle-y looking, but almost look cartoonish. There is a large number of entities that manifest in the field of where these reptilian alien beings are showing up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not only the reptilian, but there's other smaller creatures that are in the aura. You could see it against a pillowcase. You can see it against a desk.
Or a curtain. Yeah, and I would add that some of these beings look like something that you would find in the surprise package at the bottom of a box of Cracker Jacks.
Yes.
Right. You know?
Yeah, some of them look, you know,
you just never
very,
seen anything like this
yeah,
before.
Yeah, cartoonish and unusual. It looks almost as if someone would draw it, you know, odd sort of appearance, but nevertheless, many of them have a, you know, cartoonish appearance to them. Okay, so what I'm doing is I'm talking about there is this presence on this planet of these reptilian aliens. They certainly are the honchos who are behind the what we're calling world leaders who are installing the New World Order agenda, and most major leaders, world leaders of various countries, are these human alien hybrids, such as Barack and Michelle. They are now ramping up this hybridization program for the following reasons. Pure reptilians used to breed on this planet. The females that would lay an egg, the pure alien reptilian begins life as an egg, as do their counterparts in you know, on Earth, of Earth's animal groups that are reptilian. They begin as eggs. Well, this alien group also in the pure form begins as egg. They depended on a queen, hive queens. These are really huge females. Now, the full-blown reptilian male, for instance, stands 7 to 8 feet tall on average. Some of them are taller, but that's the typical. They weigh about 450 pounds in the physical. Very muscular, very strong, sort of looks like a bodybuilder. The royal caste have wings and a tail. And the non-royal class don't have wings or a tail. But these hive queens, these females that lay eggs, just like a queen bee in a hive, or a queen of an ant hive, become very large, and their sole job is to lay eggs. Well, here on Earth, I found out from a source, in the future I will reveal where this information is coming from, but I feel confident that the information is accurate. There were four of these large breeding females. They were in underground locations, deep underground caverns. They grew so large within the cavern that they couldn't escape the cavern. I was told that the size of these queen females is about the size of two semi-trailers, you know, end to end. They're that large.
And that's a theme that was carried out throughout the end of the movie Starship Troopers, by the way.
Okay, so, I never saw that movie.
So, oh, yeah, these are like big, fat, maggot-looking slugs.
Yes, right. That's the idea, right.
Yeah.
So I was told by this party who gleaned this information that there used to be four on Earth that was producing the full-blooded reptilians. And what happened is that in recent times, two of them became completely barren, so they produced no more. So there was only two producers, let's say. And of those two, one was becoming so barren that she was barely producing any eggs. So they had one really active, full-time queen hive producer. And if my memory serves me, that facility where that producer, queen, was occupying was in Australia, if I if my memory is correct. That queen, who, the full producer, as well as the one who was almost barren, now no longer are here on Earth. They are no longer producing any reptilian eggs here on Earth. So now, if you're willing to accept this tale to this point, the reptilians do not have the capabilities to reproduce themselves from their own female on planet Earth now. This change took place in just the last couple of months. The big important development, in so much that now these reptilian groups are headed towards extinction, on this planet at least. This is probably the reason, or part of the reason, why they are now trying to accelerate and expand this human reptilian hybridization program. They want to reproduce their group, their species, within a human vehicle. And of course, humans, because they can reproduce sexually, etc., this is, let's say, the next step in order for this group of aliens to to save their species here on this planet. So they're really determined to go forward with this human-alien hybridization program. Now, naturally, the humans who are being subjected to this program haven't agreed to any of this. They're merely being used, and in almost all cases are completely unaware of this event taking place. They know a lot of weird stuff is going on in their life. They can't account for a lot of missing time. A lot of strangeness goes on in the night, but they have no idea what's causing it. Well, they're in this hybridization program. Now, recently, a party who has some extraordinary ability had a conversation with one of the chief reptilian honchos, reptilian beings, who was in charge of this hybridization program. And the purpose of the conversation was to see if they would relinquish control and domination of this Texan family, who we've come to know and are concerned about their plight. And so an attempt was made to see if we can merely present them with an offer they couldn't refuse. And they rejected the offer. The party says that this is a life and death thing for us, and we're not going to give up on this program at all. And you can't apply your laughable human ethics to our situation. In fact, the party who told me this story says that this reptilian person, if we can call him that, really laughed at the notion that he had any concern about the welfare of this family, and why should he be concerned about them, etc. And the fellow said, well, because they have a right to live their own life and not being abused and raped and saddled by your interference in their life. And he just laughed at that. As you said a little bit earlier, these groups have no core of morality whatsoever. They are devoid of any notion of ethics. To them, it's a complete matter of either dominate or be dominated. That's the way they think. That's the way they act. And they have no compunction as far as inflicting pain, cruelty, abuse. To them, it's fun. It's amusement to them to rape a woman, to rape a child. To them, it's just a pleasurable event. The pain, they have no empathy with pain or suffering, none whatsoever. So because they're operating on that extremely primitive level of spiritual development, in order to counter the advantages that they have, the God force, the creative force of the world, arranges for, let's say, countervailing forces that are up to the task of neutralizing these very dark agended groups. So we now have discovered, we have stumbled upon, we have learned that it is possible for an ordinary human being to acquire certain skills that one could hone and learn to, let's say, take on these darker forces in their own backyard, which means the astral plane. A few years ago, it's quite a few years ago now, when I first started to post the articles by Don Croft and his wife, Carol Croft, he, along with others that were part of that movement, which we call the Oregon Movement, found that they could get together over the internet and have sort of a, let's say, a group meditation event in which they could focus their thoughts and energy on entering the astral plane and taking a look at what the Illuminati was doing or planning to do to continue installing their agenda, which usually almost always amounts to some destructive plans. And some of the folks in the group had more psychic ability than others. I had no psychic ability at all, but I just participated in the capacity that I could, in which I was adding the energy from my heart chakra to act as a battery, as they say in this work, to aid those who had greater psychic ability and could enter the astral realm and look around, remote view, etc. And so there was, I participated in these sessions. We typically call them blasting sessions. At least that's the term that Don Croft used most often. There's another gal who I became very fond of because she has enormous ability in this area. Her name is Lily Oshesko. She put together her own group of largely females, but some male participants. She calls the Woman Warriors. She's linked on my website. And she also has a regular meeting with a dozen or so people, at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. I used to participate in them. I don't lately, only because I'm too busy with other work, but essentially they're doing this group meditation work and they're telling each other what they're doing by chat messaging, and they focus their energy and thought on a particular goal, and then they simultaneously participate in affecting some sort of change in the astral. Now, I realize this conversation to someone who's unfamiliar with the articles by Don Croft, have no idea what an orgone generator is, you know, doesn't really believe in this crazy notion of reptilians, is going to find this conversation, you know, unbelievable. But I'm telling the story because these events are happening. They are manifesting, and you can affect the course of this agenda, which these reptilians are really the drivers, by becoming acquainted with this information and realize that human beings have the capacity to do things which can neutralize, cripple, and stop these aliens from proceeding. And some people have really enormous skills in this area. And there's a guy who sent me a very important guide, who one of the fellows who's skilled in this work, let's call it. And he put together a guide, which I posted to my website in July of 2009. It's titled How to Fight Monsters and Win. And it tells you on, it explains to you first much about this, these reptilian groups and how they essentially operate in this astral theater, a higher dimension than what we normally experience. But we can learn to enter that realm. There are techniques you can use. And by learning these techniques, you can also protect yourself from their assaults. Now, people like the Texas family have been hugely abused. And the lady, the wife particularly, is very sensitive and knowledgeable on the extent of abuse that she and her children and her husband have suffered at the hands of these beings. She's become very informed of this. And now she's starting to apply some of these techniques. And she's, you know, enormously delighted to find out that they work. And that she's, of late, has been relating to me some very exciting stories about what she's been able to do. In the past, when they wish to subdue her, they would have trigger words. They could put her in a hypnotic trance, and she would remember nothing of what transpired. The only thing she had a record of is that if she left her video camera on, and she often did, she could review the video and see, oh my God, this happened to me and this happened to the kids. But she had no conscious memory of it. By applying these techniques that are explained in this guide, also they're discussed on Lily Oshesko's Woman's Warrior site, this lady now is finding that she can truncate and neutralize some of these abusive attacks that before she was just victimized by and couldn't do anything about. She's also finding that she can retain the memory now, whereby before they had the ability to erase from her conscious mind these memories. Now she's finding that by learning to protect herself, and the guide explains how to do that, that they no longer can erase her memories with the same ease they had done in the past. Mm-hmm. So now she's had conscious recall of these events. Yes.
Now, Ken, we're running out of time here, and I want to let the listening audience know that this is something that we're going to have to pick up the next time you're on the show with us, which will be in the month of March. But I want to add that I've seen photographs and some of the video, the manifestation of these entities, and she is not exaggerating. You are not exaggerating. These things have been captured, and she's captured them by taking an image with one cell phone camera and then making a copy with the other one, because yes, she's only able to send these with one of her phones.
Yes.
And it's a difficult thing to do, and you're talking about somebody that's in a trance being abused by these devils, mm-hmm. And I'm being nice and calling them that. Mm-hmm. And she is basically corroborating many of the things that she doesn't understand that are in the film by how she's describing what's transpiring in her life and in the life of her children.
Mm-hmm.
And then are putting the facts together from the outside, you know, looking in also. We're seeing a similar pattern to other people who have complained about having been abducted and going through these types of experiences. These things are really happening to people.
Yes, they are.
I give you the chance to wrap it up here.
Okay, well, the wrap up is this. I took this show to go into this topic for the reason that first we the general, you know, population of this earth have to come to grips with this negative alien presence. That's not to say that all extraterrestrial groups are negative by nature. No, There's many of them that are here visiting, shall we say, that are positive, friendly, life-affirming, and are not abusive at all. This group that we're talking about is a negative group. However, they are defeatable. Defeatable. That's why I'm going into the details. And this ability to defeat them is becoming clearer and clearer with each passing month. And so it's nothing to shy away from. Everyone should come to grips with this reality, read the books, see the videos, you know, face it. Number two, you will find, first is this wonderful guide I posted in July. It's on my current news page. Just scroll down to July of 2009, How to Fight Monsters and Win. Take a look at the Woman Warriors link. It's at one of the links that's at the top of my page, somewhere in the middle of one of those rows. Start reading, look into this, but realize that we can defeat these alien beings on their own turf, and we can also put an end to the collusion, let's say, between these negative aliens and the NWO sellouts in our government. So that's the purpose of the talk.
Well, sure we'll get into this more as the days and weeks go by. You'll be on Evident Footprints next month. Can you believe how fast this month is going already?
Yeah, I know. It's really, everything's moving so fast.
Fascinating information, and I can assure the listeners out there that you're not exaggerating one piece of this. In fact, you're holding back quite a bit.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that for sure. And I have to say that these beings are not very pleased with the fact that this issue is being discovered and addressed.
Oh, absolutely. This is the last thing they want to. They don't wish to be discovered. The government agencies working with them, monitoring these hybridization victims, don't want this out either.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is this is probably the worst, vector of the betrayal of not only their own fellow countrymen, but their own fellow human beings, to work in collusion with an alien race that is trying to subjugate and enslave your own race of people. If that isn't treason, what is?
Yeah. Yep. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show, Ken, and look forward to your next visit. I'm anticipating you're going to be writing something about this pretty soon.
Yes.
So a lot of people are asking about your website. So
I'll be getting it. I had a computer problem that prevented me from uploading, and I decided to catch up on other work. I was so far behind on so much work that I decided I'll just catch up first, but my plan is to have the website up within a few days, and so I have to do X, Y, and Z to fix the problem, and I've been using my time in other areas, but it's going to be back up within a few days. Mm. I think.
Okay, well, that about does it. I got to say goodnight to the listening audience, but you can visit Ken's website at educate-yourself.org. And I want to thank him for coming on the show and look forward to his next visit. Also, like to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for carrying this show, as well as blogtalkradio.com. Special thanks to Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me again tomorrow night when my special guest will be none other than Ingrid Castle from the Idaho Observer. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.